Welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. This is your host, Ishai Breslauer. Here we meet every Monday to talk commercial real estate and prop tech. We will dive deep into the different asset classes, discuss the market, talk about the new and exciting technologies, meet key people in the industry, and get some inspiration. Let's begin. Hey guys, before we start, I just want to point out the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. It's a free download. Go to the text side and you will find it. It has absolutely great information, completely free, how to become a landlord, how to determine the value of a property, or creative financing for commercial real estate. All of it is completely free. Go download it. Also, I want to point out my CRE crash course. It's a 2-week must-have program with a must-have skills for commercial real estate, like investment strategies, the must-have financial terms, how a deal is done. Go take a look at it, go to the text side and click on the link. And now let's continue with our program. Hey guys, how are you? This is Ishai Breslauer, your host of the CRE Shark Eye Show. Hope you guys are doing great. Today we talk prop tech. And I'm very, very excited about this. And not only prop tech, but we talk prop tech and development. We have with us Olivia Ramos. I said it correctly, I hope. And today she's with us with a company called Deep Blocks. And I just can't wait. I read about this company on this meeting. I went on the website and just going through the website got me so excited. I'm so curious. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Excited to have the
conversation. My pleasure. You know, before we start, give us a 2-minute elevator pitch about your company.
Absolutely. So Deep Blocks is automating and streamlining real estate development decisions, primarily on the site selection side. So right now you require architects to understand the zoning, contractors to give you some numbers, there's 3D modeling, there's financial modeling, there's market understanding, and all of that happens in different software, sometimes different disciplines. So we brought it all together into a single engine where it understands zoning, market, all the assumptions in the back of the envelope conversation. So you can canvas an entire city in less than a minute and find all the properties that meet a certain development criteria, such as number of units allowed or a square footage, like I need everything that allows for industrial and 200,000 square feet. So imagine you're looking at tens of thousands of properties and you get a short list instantly of the ones that meet that development criteria. And then you're able to very quickly do a feasibility analysis where we combine a 3D model with a financial model and you could adjust all the assumptions and in, you know, a couple of minutes understand if what you're planning to build actually fits on the site and if it's the return that you were kind of hoping for. So all of that, you know, is saving 6 to 8 months of work on the canvassing side and a couple of weeks of work on each feasibility analysis, which, you know, amounts to a lot of money and a lot of time.
So I'll tell you, I'm listening to you and I'm saying to myself, wow, I have so many questions. It's so exciting. But you know what, before we get into that, tell us about yourself a little bit. How did you get into this, your background, how you started up? Because I saw that you are a serial entrepreneur.
Yes. So my mother's an architect. So I grew up around old school architecture offices with pens and erasers and, you know, something that we don't see anymore. It's all on the computer. And I was fascinated by it. I went to design and architecture senior high. So it's a senior high focused in architecture. Did a bachelor's in design and architecture at University of Florida. And then a master's in architecture at Columbia University. And then I realized that the developer made most of the decisions on what gets built and where it gets built. So I did a second master's in real estate development at the University of Miami and got a more holistic understanding of the process in order to do it myself. So during that master's, I realized there were brokers, there were banks, there were all kinds of other players involved. So I worked in brokerage. There's an army of people. And it was really frustrating because I wanted to do it all myself. So I worked for brokers, I worked for architects, I worked for developers, I worked for contractors, I was in the construction sites and really got a feel for what it takes. And I was almost about to start my own project, my first development project, when I got into the DARPA Innovation House. It was a program under the Department of Defense where I got to design big data navigation software. And that was like a total glitch in the system in terms of my career path. But I fell in love with the power of big data, the potential of exponential technologies. And I took that and applied to Singularity University, the Global Solutions Program of 2016. And that's where DeepBlocks was born. And DeepBlocks is a combination of this background in real estate development and architecture with the technologies of the future, the exponential technologies. And combining those two, we believe, could be very powerful and transformative.
When did you start DeepBlocks?
It was the summer, June 2016.
Okay.
It was before the word prop tech existed.
Yes. So you are a prop tech pioneer, as we call it. And I love that. It's great. It's great. Here's what I want to find out. Because it sounds to me, and we're going to get into it in a second, but it sounds to me that this is a combination of big data and AI, artificial intelligence, like a combination between the two in order to be able to find out all these things. And today, the data of real estate is one of the biggest challenges in big data and real estate is to gather the data. I had in the show, if you want to scroll in one of my shows, I had L.D. Salmonson from Cherry. If you know Cherry, you probably do.
Because
it's big data, one of the big data leaders. And we spoke about it in length. And also he came out and he said, listen, the challenge is so tremendous. There's so many pieces of information that are scattered within offices, even in Manhattan, which is considered to be the more informative type of place, less primitive, more advanced. Even there, still, you have one type of data for taxes and then for what type of parcels you have. And it's just mishkababbled. You just find different type of things in different places. And that's one of the challenges, to put it together, to have the people to take out the data and put it together. Because eventually you will need that. So the AI machine is a struggle for it. So can you explain? I understand the idea. The idea is blessed. It's beautiful. It's amazing. We'll go through the process in a second. But that challenge is tremendous. Can you tell us how you managed to overcome this challenge, gathering the
data? Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we can discuss the most arduous and painful data set in real estate development is zoning. And zoning holds all the secrets to the future of a city. And it also holds the secrets to how a city thinks about growth and the sentiment of how flexible a city is. All of that is held within zoning data. So we focused our efforts in digitizing and streamlining that data first. And we have currently the largest digitized data collection of zoning. Over 100 cities are live, and we're working on the next 100 cities. That required at first a very manual process because every single municipality has a completely different zoning ordinance. And each ordinance has a different logic, different language, different like math behind it, different contingencies. And again, you could tell a lot about a city if you look at their zoning ordinance. So the first decision that we made to be able to scale is to select the parameters that are make up about 90% of the decision in whether to buy a site or not. Like, how much can I build? Does it fit on the site? How big can it be? How many units? What's the lot coverage? Parking requirements, setbacks, to give you a ballpark back of the envelope before you move into it further. And that allows us to use machine learning to be able to extract that information across zoning codes because each model is focused on one piece. So we've trained 10 models to find that one data point in all of the zoning ordinances. And then we have a team that extracts that data manually. We're now working on automating that process But essentially, we mimicked the process that we do as architects and as developers, and we saw which were the where the opportunities were to automate. We have about 50% automated right now, moving towards 90% automation on the extraction of this data. To give you an idea of how painful it was, it took us 3 years to do the first 30 cities. And then once we realized what pieces we can automate, it took us 6 months to do the next 70. So we're moving towards exponential growth, and the goal is to have all 19,000 cities updating in real time and being able to do analysis on top of that data.
So which cities are you guys in?
So we have a list of 100. I don't know if I can share my screen.
You don't have to list all of them, but
yeah.
Give us like 10 of the main cities.
Would it be possible to show you the map?
So you can, but since it's also a podcast form, you'll have to read it.
Gotcha. So at deepblocks.com/cities, you get the full list. You have a map, but we have all major markets, most major markets. We're now working in Boston and DC. Those are two major cities that we didn't have because of the complexity of the data. But we have about 23 cities in Florida, another 20-something cities in California. We have about 30 cities now in Texas. So we have
New York.
We have all five boroughs, yes.
Yeah. Nice.
We have Jersey City. And then we have, smaller markets as well. The latest trend post-COVID is for developers to want entire MSAs, because a lot of people are moving out of the city core and wanting more space for the same price, essentially. So a lot of movement is happening in the secondary and tertiary markets. So we're now covering MSAs. We just launched the Dallas-Fort Worth MSA. We're about to launch the Tampa MSA. So it's changed a little bit from like major core to kind of surrounding that major core, which is an interesting observation.
Amazing. Let's go through a little bit of the... you know what? I have so many questions. Just like I have like a whole salad in my head right now. So asset classes wise, are you on all asset classes, or it's just focused on certain asset class finding, residential, commercial, industrial?
Good question. So there are two aspects of the software, the canvassing side, where you want to look at an entire, let's say an entire neighborhood might have 7,000 to 10,000 properties, and you want to see where you can build whatever you're planning to build. That includes every asset class. Every asset class that's included by the zoning. So you can filter by industrial.
Or right, the zoning says, it classifies.
Yeah, zoning says, yeah.
Hospitality.
Exactly. Single family. All of that is included. On the modeling side, we include industrial, multifamily, condominium, office, retail, hotel, and you could tweak it to do single family and communities. It wasn't designed for that. We could do a little bit more functionalities for that, but it's the major.
What do you mean about that? What do you mean the modeling side?
Right. So there's a canvassing side, which is you see a map and a series of sliders.
It tells you what is there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a short, and then you could export a short list of properties. Okay. Yes. And then you could select the property, get the information from that property, and then go to the next interface where it builds a 3D model, like let's say SketchUp. And then it combines that 3D model with a financial model. So as you adjust, like maybe more units, less units, bigger units, smaller units, add retail, add a hotel, remove parking, then the back of the envelope return on cost is updating in real time. All your assumptions are updating in real time in terms of how much is it going to cost? How much am I building? So as you adjust these sliders, your project and a kind of final PDF report is all adjusting in real time. So you can very quickly make changes and get all those results updated automatically.
I got it. It's very interesting. So once I got the sketches, I got the architectural plans, I see it. And then you're saying it translates also obviously to the pro forma, to some financial planning. In what level is it? And I'll explain my question. When we do financial planning, every project is different. Obviously, mm-hmm. you have Argus and you have this, and some people use a certain platform, certain ways, certain. But from my experience, every developer has their own pro forma with their own yep. analysts. They build their own stuff because they love to look at it that way and this way. And even between projects, they have different ways to look at it. And you have different points of data that come in. Some of them are completely not relevant for another one. So how do you maneuver with that?
That's a great point. So we know that from working in development. And that's why we kept it to the back of the envelope. It's an unlevered 1-year snapshot that just has all the assumptions of the project and very simple income, expense, vacancy, net NOI, and your return on cost based on okay. the cost of the project. So what we do, and this is actually coming in the next release, export those assumptions, and our customers have their own 40 tab pro forma that we're not right. going to reproduce, but they have one tab for our CSV, our assumptions. So they can model.
I got it. They can tweak from it. They can take from exactly. it. Pull from it.
Exactly. All they have awesome. To do is paste it in that one tab. It's already connected to the rest of the pro forma.
I love it. It's great.
And yeah.
It's great. Let's go through the process, which is fun. A developer comes into a land and goes through a whole process of finding out what type of stuff he gets there in order to see if it's a good deal or not a good deal. Feasibility is a whole different ballgame. We're going to touch it later. Okay, right now I want to touch the process. I'm, let's say, a residential multifamily developer. Okay, that's what I am. I want to look where are the pockets of the deals that I'm looking for, certain types of deals. And it's the zoning, it's the area, it's the numbers, it's cap, it's everything. In the process that I have, there are levels, the levels of checking, meaning I have, meaning in order not to exhaust, right? I had staff. So we created the sort of a phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four, and every company has their own, and some very experienced to have very, very little details. I know some people who are like old school. All they have to do is like, take a look and that's it. So I'm not on that level, but I'm saying there are phases. How do you take all those phases and put them in, and what did you create in terms of the amount of data? How does it work?
Absolutely. So the first thing is understanding a market and seeing what's available in that market. So to be very specific, our customers are not local developers that stick to a neighborhood, that really understand that neighborhood. They don't think they need any help. Maybe they don't. We work with regional developers that want to be in many markets at once, that want to expand to new markets and don't have boots on the ground. Not necessarily. It could be, you know, between $500 million and, you know, it could go up to however, $500 million, you're already kind of looking for multiple markets to invest in. So $2 billion is a nice sweet spot. So that's a small team, relatively speaking. So then we allow you to go to a new neighborhood, a new market or a new city, and instantly have a map of where you can build what you want to build instantly. Like, I know that there's a cluster here in this neighborhood where I can build 200 units, and there's currently a delta, a development delta of 10x, right? So which means there are smaller buildings and I could build, you know, 10 times the amount. I mean, now I want to focus on that cluster, but I want to see where else in that city that exists. So you get that picture, and then you have a layer of demographic, and then you see, okay, what's my target market? So you're able to see from those clusters where to focus on based on the kind of rents they're paying, the employment rates. We show you that in a snapshot on the map, but we also show you that historical data point. So you could see how those neighborhoods or those tracks have changed over time. So then out of these 10 clusters, I'm going to focus on these three, and I'm going to see exactly, you know, what I can build on them, what's existing. You have access to the street view, so you can see if somebody already took advantage of that and it's already under construction. But you're starting from 10,000 parcels on the site, and you're now narrowing down to 2 dozen, let's say. And then you click and you see what you can build. You see the, maybe you filter further by the size of the lot. So I don't want a difficult construction. I want it to be at least 20,000 square feet for, let's say, a mid-sized multifamily building. And you narrow down to a handful of sites. And you know, you just went from 10,000 to 5 in a matter of 15 minutes. You could do that across many cities, across many markets, and get that short list. That short list, then you go and you see who owns it. Sometimes we have that information depending on the city. Sometimes you use other sources for that ownership data. And we have our customers going directly to owners and signing LOIs for these deals that they found in Deep Blocks. But within that, so that's the kind of canvassing side. We then look at what can we build there. And that's where the model and, you know, the combination of the 3D model and the financial model is very helpful, because you get a visual of what 200,000 square feet looks like after you have setbacks and parking requirements. And so you get to see that and see if it actually makes sense. Other things that you could do is do assemblages. So you could select multiple lots, see, you know, how is it worth it to negotiate all those deals, or is it better to just negotiate this one big one? And you can analyze also, do you want to negotiate with the city to have additional leeway, or is by right good enough? And that means you're going to have an expedited or, you know, much faster process through permitting. So all of that can be explored through the software, saving tons and tons of time.
It sounds amazing. If I'm a developer, and I see this sometimes, you know, when you're used to work with all these professionals all over the place and all the time, et cetera, and have people sometimes, even today, have to like run, go themselves to the municipality and take out documents, et cetera, et cetera. When they see that this kind of a software and they see and they say, "Why, amazing, but is it like BS? Like, is it real? Is it like true? Is it not?" So do you have a way to click, let's say a person clicked and he says, okay, and pieces of data, poof, it pops out. Here you got this, that, this is the zoning square footage you can build, and da 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 da, da, this is the zoning permit. This is the amount of units you can have. This is what you're going to have to spend in terms of that. This is what you're going to have to spend construction, whatever, land costs. Everything is there. Beautiful. Very, very nice. If he wants a proof to see that you know what you're talking about, that you pulled the data from right places, is there a place to click and see the real old-fashioned document or to see the source that you got it from?
So we have that for PDs. So PD zonings, each individual parcel has its own set of rules. They're planned developments. We don't have that right now for every single zoning data point.
Right.
We'd love to. That would require like another set of processes so that every time we get that data point, we capture that piece of info, like the location of that piece, if it's a URL or if it's a snapshot of the zoning with the latest zoning PDF. So that would require another set of work that we do plan to do. But the first thing we wanted to do was validate that zoning was important. And we weren't sure at the beginning how important it was to streamline and digitize this particular zoning data set. We now know that it is very, very valuable. So we're beginning to add more layers, like future land use maps, like more detailed PD descriptions, overlays, and certainly having a link for every single data point would be fantastic. And we want to move in that direction. But I will assure you that if you go to the latest zoning, you will have the same data points, and customers do it all the time. Like, let me check. Because we update it every quarter. Like 80% of our operation is updating those cities.
Your clients today, tell me something. Tell me about how they react to this software, how they react to this service. And tell me about their experience. What do they say?
Yeah, I mean, at first they, you know, They're in love with the idea of being able to canvas entire cities primarily, and then being able to, you know, in a very intuitive way, model the project without the need for consultants. We don't get rid of the consultants. Eventually, you do set up a development team with architects and engineers. But at the initial conversation, what they like the most is the autonomy that they have to look at dozens of deals without waiting for someone to get back to them. So this freedom, this autonomy, and this ability for speed in site selection and speed in building that pipeline of deals that they find really amazing. And they certainly go through the pain points otherwise, so they get it right away.
I think it's really incredible. Tell us a little bit about your company, how it started. Where is it today? I don't know if you feel comfortable saying about the capital raising wise, which phase you are, what are you looking for, the team you have, you know, the story of the company, yeah. How you developed it, where it is today, customer, clientele, amount, that kind of stuff. So people will get to understand that. Obviously, you could share anything you're comfortable with. You don't have to, you know, say anything that you don't feel comfortable with.
Of course. No, we started at Singularity University, and they gave us tons of foundation for understanding how to raise capital, how to build a team, how to, you know, only spend on what's absolutely necessary. And we started from there. And well, we raised our first million out of Singularity University. They invested some of that and then brought on a great network of investors. I had a network of developers in Miami from the time I worked here. They came in as well. And it was a really beautiful kind of combination of VC funding from Silicon Valley and experienced developers in Miami, where we moved the company there because we had that network. And we were able to build out the first alpha of the product with the help of those developers that were on the ground. So that was the beginning of the company, and we built an engineering team to build it in-house. So our software is over a million lines of code, all built in-house. We control the whole thing. We just had a huge infrastructural piece that we build ourselves. When you start a company, you use a lot of third-party pieces so that you can expedite your going to market and testing the product. So we've developed a robust and seasoned engineering and data science team as well to not only have the product, but all the data that goes into the product. And it's been a really beautiful process. We all work remotely. We're in all kinds of places and cities, but we meet every day for 8 to 10 hours a day on Slack. And we all work together to continue to improve all of the pieces of the product, and now moving into marketing and sales, which is relatively new for us. So we're now collaborating on that in a big way. We have 8 members in the core team, and that's engineering, data science, sales and marketing, and then 8 members on the data, the data collection structuring. So we're 16 in total, actually 17. We just got a new member on the data side. And so it's a good sized team. It's a small team. And we all consider ourselves that we really just got started. Like, we just built everything that we wanted to build. And now it's about taking it to the next level, getting the insights. We're very excited about analyzing 100 cities of zoning data and understanding where inefficiencies are, where the opportunities are, and how to tell what city will be easiest to bring a development to. So that kind of insight is kind of what we built all of this for, and continuing to kind of automate can we give someone 5 options for highest and best use based on market data, based on zoning, based on the conditions of the cycles of development. So that's the kind of intelligence that we want to get to. All of that requires all the little pieces that we've built so far. And the team is very excited to do that and have an impact on, you know, the optimization of development, essentially.
I think it's phenomenal. So where are you today in terms of the growth of the company?
Yeah, so we now have 80 paying customers, and they've been with us since we launched Alpha. The Alpha was at a very low cost at the beginning. And, you know, we're now at, you know, a substantial, you know, subscription. Our city subscription is $5,400 a year. Our state subscription is $18,000 a year. And our national right now is $36,000. That will go up once we have 200 cities. But each, you know, if you just want a single city, you have, you're not priced out. So that's kind of on the pricing side. We've raised close to $5 million so far on three different rounds. We're currently raising a fourth round or a fourth version, like a, another version of the last round. And we have about 15 investors. Again, half of them are real estate development experts. The other half are venture capital firms.
Wow. And growing and growing. I actually looked, you know, while you were talking, I was listening to you and looking in my you know, the LinkedIn side of yours to see, and I'm actually connected to some of your guys. It's very, very exciting. I think the CRO and COO are connected to me in some way.
Yes.
So, meaning I have 20,000 followers on LinkedIn, so it's not really an indication, but I just wanted to see if this, it's beautiful. I love it. I love the concept. I love the idea. The one last thing I would like to discuss is integrations. It's one of the most powerful APIs, integrations, one of the most powerful tools out there, because many of the great technologies that are standalone and they're not really equipped to go and integrate with others, they're going to be blocked no matter what. And you need to be able to A, have a technology and be able to integrate and to be able to come and integrate. Some of the technologies out there are experts in integration, like Cherry, like, you know, you have a bunch of those. And that's very, very exciting. So how are you guys working on that and seeing integration as a part of the process of the growth of the company?
Absolutely. We think about that a lot. We are starting to integrate with smaller data providers, like smaller groups that have gathered really interesting data sets in local areas, so they're not being captured by the large national data providers. So they'll have a space to upload their data in DeepBlocks and sell it there. We're also integrating with, in conversations to integrate with generative design companies, so that from the 3D model that we provide, you can link to their more robust and deeper within the building kind of floor plan automation and that kind of thing. So we're basically the very first conversation in development, and everything thereafter could be plugged in from DeepBlocks. We want to export the 3D model to Revit so that, you know, you could just give that to the architect. These are the top three options that gave me the biggest return. So can we move forward with these? Again, we've already, we're finalizing the integration with Excel to be able to tap into that, you know, 40 tab performa. But we see ourselves as a platform for a lot of kind of, it'll be really easy to bring in kind of listing platforms into our map. So we're definitely open to that. We're having really interesting conversations on bringing people in, but also taking things out of DeepBlocks. So we're speaking with a few large brokerages on an API for our zoning data, so that their advisors have that in a format that, you know, that's more on a report basis rather than a software basis and things like that. And some, we're getting some requests to be kind of like an internal team for certain funds, where we bring in customized layers and customized cities just for them. And that's a, you know, a bigger ticket item, but certainly something that we're interested in, because we get to really craft the algorithms and craft the power of it, and then bring that out, that knowledge out into the rest of the product. So there's a lot of different types of relationships and integration that we've been fortunate to have the flexibility to do. And those conversations are starting now, and we're very excited about it.
Wow. How incredible. I hope you guys are, because I was excited about this. This is incredible. I hope you guys are enjoying this. And I tell you, links are above and below to get in touch with them. with Olivia and DeepBlocks. Olivia, tell everybody how they can find you guys.
Me personally, Olivia at DeepBlocks.com. We're on LinkedIn. As you saw, Michael Cavone and Jeff Millett, our COO, are both on. We're very available on LinkedIn, very active on LinkedIn. But you know, feel free to get in touch, of course, and we're happy to have conversations about partnerships, investments, and onboarding to any developer, of course, to the platform.
That's incredible. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with us. And I really, really appreciate this. This was incredible. And you guys, I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to see you on the next show. Take care, you guys. Hey guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.